Okay. As people who say, I believe in Jesus, I'm a child of God, sometimes people look at us and say, really? I mean, to be honest with us, sometimes we don't act like children of God, do we? Yeah. A lot of times it's the difference, and as I started out my section here of Sunday school, it's a difference on whether we do things for God or with God. Okay. I know that in family when the kids were growing up, and as we were, you know, growing up, I got married, I was 18, you were 17. We were growing up with our kids. There were times when you start doing things for the family without including the family in it. Okay. We went fishing a lot. There's a lot of times I went fishing for the family. It was just for me. It's one of those things. I'm honest. I really am. I'm telling you guys, sometimes I took family gatherings and outings. It was just for me. I mean, whether they had fun or not wasn't a big thing. It was for me. Oh, that's not very Christ-like. Yeah, well, at least I'm admitting it, aren't I? I'm being honest to myself. And so it's the difference between doing things for God or with God. Okay? When we do things with God, that means we're including him in everything that we do. It means he's with us. You remember what the Holy Spirit is? The one that comes alongside, the one that is with us. Okay? Sometimes we forget that. And we start doing things for God. Okay? We start doing things, everything in our life is for something or other rather than with him. Okay? And then that's how we wound up in 1 Timothy. Because there's a lot of things that's in here. Actually, the entire Bible is geared toward us to learn stuff, right? Okay. And it's geared for us to, I don't know, I guess have a certain perspective. And perspective is like I said before, as a child of God. As a child of God, life is different for us now. We are a new creature. Sometimes we do forget that. Okay. Been saved over 40 years now, and sometimes I forget, oh, I'm a new creature. I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be thinking that. But sometimes it just creeps in unawares when you're not paying attention to life. And then the Holy Spirit comes up, slaps you on the head, and says, hey, what are you doing? Okay, well, at least he does for me, you know. He kind of does that, hit me upside the head, just, what are you doing this stuff? What are you doing thinking this stuff? Okay. But like I said, it's a matter of perspective. I've said this before, Star Wars has stolen some of our most favorite lines, you know, the luminous beings we are. Another line that they have in Star Wars that they've stolen from us is, it all depends on our perspective. Okay, that was when one of the teachers was telling the kid, Luke, yeah, okay, Darth Vader is your father, but, you know, your father actually died from a certain perspective. You got to look at things, okay? And what do you mean, certain perspective? Our perspective should be like from a child of God, not from a lost person. When we read the scriptures here, we know that we're children of God, and it's for us to know what God wants us to know, for us to take in what God wants us to have. So there's two perspectives we should have as we read the Bible. One is from a subservient created being to a holy God, and the other one is from the holy God to a lowly subservient being. Okay, those are the only two perspectives we should have. Things here are done from God's perspective. When God speaks against sin, against stuff that we think is okay, that's the perspective from God's viewpoint. You know? Because we're, like I said, Pastor said this the other day, we like telling you the little white lies. It's okay, little white lies are okay, but the big black ones aren't. No. Lying is lying. You know, if you break one small portion of the law, you have broken the entire law. Me stealing pens from people, I'm a pen thief, is the same as God not murdering somebody. Okay? Because it's broken the law. Okay? And I know some of you are going, no, that's not right. It's a perspective thing, people. God says stealing is wrong. Okay? Yes. Rahab the harlot. It was Rahab, wasn't it? The harlot. Okay? Lied to the people when they come up and said, okay, where are those spies from Israel that came in here? And she says, no, they went away. They left and they went that way. Okay? When she hit them up on the roof. It's a lie. She still had to, not that it was okay, she still had to repent of that lie. Oh yeah, but it was saved the people of Israel. Doesn't matter what the purpose was. Okay. And people justify that. They have a thing nowadays, actually it's been around for 30 years now, called situational ethics. Anybody heard of that? Situational ethics means depending on what the situation is, justifies or does not justify your actions. Okay. Which means depending on the situation of your life, you can do whatever it is you want. Oh, I lost my job due to this or that or whatever, so I can go out and be a thief. No, thieving's still wrong. Okay. We try to justify ourselves because we look at things from a lost person's perspective. We don't look at it from God's perspective or as a child of God. We don't see sin as serious as it is because we don't look at it from God's perspective. We don't see sin as serious as it is looking at it from the subservient creator's or creation's perspective. I mean, everybody remember when you were lost? Do you remember that? Okay. Do you remember the day you got saved, how lost you knew you were? How separated from God you knew you were? You finally realized this. Oh, wow, man. It was a wow moment for me. Okay. First time in my life I ever felt true fear of something. And it was a God that I never saw. It's like, wow. Problem is, we've lost that. Okay? We've lost that perspective. Oh, I'm a child of God. I'm saved by grace. Oh, everything's happy, hunky-dory. No, it's not quite all the time, is it? Life comes in and just throws you a bowl full of cherries sometimes with the pits. Okay? And our perspective depends on what our actions are is dependent on what our perspective is. Okay? If we see things as God sees things, if we trust God as he says to trust him, as the saved child of God, as a subservient person looking up toward God, I trust you, God, therefore whatever happens in my life, I'm okay with. Okay? I'm okay with that. Okay? When I had my back surgery last year, the doc said, the best we could give you is a 50-50 chance that it'll work. I said, really? Can't you do more than that? Aren't you supposed to like lie to me, make me feel good about this? You know, it's like, no. No, the best I can do is 50-50. Okay? It's not 100%. Okay? It is better. Yes, praise God, it is better. But it's not 100%. But before the surgery, it's like, have you ever had talks with God when subjects become pretty deep? You know, the first thing was, God, I pray, because when I was a child, people had back surgery. There was a good chance they came out crippled, worse than when they went in. It's just, you know, that was the 60s. It's like, man. And so those fears came back up. And I was like, man, God, suppose I'm going to be crippled. Suppose they make a mistake. Oops. Because, you know, they're only that far away from the spinal cord, you know, and they got sharp implements. It's like, wow. It was kind of scary, daunting for me, okay? Maybe for some of you guys it isn't, but hey, for me it was daunting. For me it was scary. And I had to come to grips with it, like, I could be this way for the rest of my life. And it's like, it had to come to a point either you get angry at God for it, they say, or, okay, Lord, whatever, and I'll go on. Okay. We have to be okay with some things. Our perspective has to be such that we're looking at things with hope that God says, you trust in me, I will provide for you. Okay. The time when Paul was facing that thorn in the flesh, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. There are times in our life we have to have that perspective. Like, yes, my grace, God's grace was sufficient for us at salvation. And it's sufficient for us no matter what environment of life we are in. to see things from God's viewpoint and from a saved person's viewpoint, rather than a lost person who says, man, God, this is not fair. Why is this put upon me? And it's like, you know, because there's sin in the world. Things are done for your edification. We have this COVID-19. Okay, has killed a lot of people. Okay, it's a very real thing. Okay. There's a lot of misinformation out about it, and some of it put forth by our by the very people who are supposed to advise us on what's good for us. It's like, you know, I don't know. You listen to half of them sometimes. It's like, you know, you're not saying anything really concrete. You're not really saying anything of any value. Right? Our politicians are making such a big deal of it, and it's like, you know, we really can't trust politicians. At least you shouldn't. If you are, then shame on you. And it's like, you know, we still have to have this perspective. God, if you bring in this in, and a lot of Christians laugh at this portion, then maybe it's a judgment from God. Okay? And it could be. However, it's not really a judgment from God. It would be the punishment from God. The judgment's already done, so now we're facing a punishment phase. Okay? That maybe this is from God. And I've heard a lot of Christians, nah, it can't be from God. He's a loving God, blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, this very well could be from God. Or it could be man doing his own stuff, you know, shooting himself in the foot again. But, you know, God allowed it for a reason. Okay? Has it built your faith? That would be the number one reason. Has it brought you in your life to give God the glory and not yourself? That would be another reason. Okay, God has a reason for it. Do we trust him enough, or are we fearful? Oh, I got to do this. Oh, yeah, you know, I'm just so afraid in life. We're not supposed to be that way. It's the perspective thing again. And as we read the Bible where it says, you know, behave this certain way, this is the behavior I expect my children to be in that box, in that four corners with actual sides, boundaries. Are we content with living within those boundaries? Okay. As a child of God, do we see the perspective that, hey, this is good for us to not step over that boundary? Okay. Remember the days? No, probably you guys don't. In the old days, they thought the world was flat. And if you went a certain distance, you fell off the edge. So they were afraid to go a whole lot a distance away. You know, a lot of the ships, you know, stayed within sight of land because any further, we could fall over the edge and die. Or be lost into some place, you know, that God doesn't speak of. That's our boundaries. That's the way we should see our boundaries that God puts around us. It's there for our protection. It's there that this is, when you go beyond that, then you're transgressing the word of God, and then you're sinning. Okay? Perspective. When we read these stuff in here, that we talked about servants dealing in businesses with other people and stuff like that. If you don't have the idea that you're a child of God and that this is something God has put in place for your good, it doesn't do any good. It doesn't do you any good. Okay? Again, perspective is important. Perspective is important. Morning. We left off, actually a little later than verse 10, but we're going to go through verse 10 again. Okay. For the love of money, Paul writes Timothy, the love of money is the root of all evil. Okay. Oftentimes, because of our perspective, we don't view that the love of money is the root of all evil. We say, oh, just having money is evil. Just having money is not evil. Okay? Having stuff is not evil. Okay? When that stuff becomes more important to you than God, however, that's the evil part. Okay? When that money, that getting of things and acquiring stuff becomes more important to you than the things of God, that's the evil part. Because now you are starting to worship another God rather than Jehovah. The Bible says a lot about rich people, about how they fall into snares, and he points that out here in a few minutes. But it's not because they're rich that they fall into these snares. It's because they love their money. They love their stuff. They love the power. And as I've said this before, I've seen poor people that love something. They don't have money, but they love money so much that they have that desire. They're always buying tickets. They're always going to the casino. The get rich quick. You know why get rich quick scams are successful? People want that money. It's like, wow. Don't be fooled by it. I mean, you see it here on the news every day. Some new scheme, somebody's decided to get money out of you. How about this one? Hey, you just won $5 million in a lottery, and all you got to do is send me, you know, $10,000, and you'll get your $5 million, or your $5 million. A $10,000 to get $5 million? Wow, that's cool. I can do that, right? And people get, well, I don't have $5,000. I got $1,000. Okay, good. That's good enough. So people will give $1,000. From nobody, from somebody that just called them up on the phone, for a chance at more money. Okay, it's like, most of us are going, well, how is that? How does that work? That sounds stupid, just me saying it, right? And yet people fall for it all the time. If you get an email that says, hey, send all your information to this person, then you get a benefit out of it. People do that. Why? Because they're looking for the profit. They're looking for the money. That has more attraction on their heart and in their mind than being sensible. Okay? And you hear it all the time. You know, this poor old person, or this poor person was just, you know, built out of all of her money, all of their money, their life savings, because they hope to get a bigger benefit. They hope to get more money. The love of money, the lust of money, is still there. Okay? And that's where the problem is, because it's another God that gets in the way between you and the real God. Okay? Which why some coveted after they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Erred from the faith, the belief in God, that God will take care of you. Now, there are sound investments you can do. Okay, there are. Dave Ramsey tells you how to navigate between a sound and unsound investments. Okay, things that are wise in this world. Okay, being wise as serpents, yet meek as doves. Okay, it's not the same thing. Being wise with your money is not the same thing as being, you know, I've been called stingy because I won't give something. I won't give to the March of Dimes, okay? Because last I heard, they support abortions 100%, okay? And I won't. They have big old March of Dimes things at work. I said, I'm not going to give. Well, what's wrong with you? Are you hard in your heart? Do you not care about other people? Well, I do. It's just, you know, I don't support what they support. Being wise with your money. They've erred from the faith, from the belief in God. Okay? I'm not lucky. It's part of the job. I'm a government employee. I have a PERS, which is a government retirement plan. Okay? I don't forget what the PERS stands for. I forget. But it's a government retirement plan. It's actually a pretty good retirement plan. Okay? I'm not trusting in it, however, for my livelihood. Okay? And you say, well, because you're supposed to trust in God for that. Yeah, make wise investments. Okay? Do wisely with your money. That's being a good steward of God. When God gives you stuff, you have to be wise with how you spend it, with how you use these things. Okay? Use it within His will for His glory. We do have scriptures that says if you sow to the wind, you'll reap the whirlwind. And I don't know how many people, we get paid every 2 weeks, how many people who 2 weeks later, they have no money. They've already used their credit cards to buy groceries. That still gets me. Credit cards to buy groceries? You going to go into debt just to buy food? Yeah. Why? Because they're not smart with their money. They're not wise with their money. These are lost people. They will go down and drink $200, $300 worth of alcohol on a Friday night and a Saturday night. Okay. They will go to the casino, and they will spend hundreds of dollars there. Okay. Oh, just for entertainment. It's just for entertainment. No, okay. Well, if you don't have any money for food by the time the next paycheck rolls around, you did something wrong. You didn't budget for your entertainment. Okay. The being wise. The perspective, having faith in God. Yeah, God will see me through some things. God will see me through the entire life, not through some things, through all things. I will have what I need. Bible says, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. It's like, but what about my car? What about my Suburban? What about all the stuff I got? Having food and raiment. Let's be happy with that. I got to give up my fishing boat? Maybe sometime I will. Okay. In order to keep my faith in God, there are some things we have to give up in this world. Some plans, maybe some goals, some things that we have in our life that does not include God. And thereby we have erred from the faith. We have made a mistake in searching that instead of searching after God. Christians, man, to use the term loosely, Christians, will look to the government for their sustenance rather than God. If I vote for this person, they'll make sure that I get my welfare check, they'll make sure I get this, they'll make sure I get that perk, they'll make sure I get this. Well, who are you trusting in? That person in the federal government or the local government? Okay. A lot of people voted this year. Oh, I only know Inslee because I work here and I hear people that work that voted for him. Oh, he'll keep us safe from the virus. He hasn't done a good job yet, has he? And you know what he did? He starts blaming Idaho. I live in Idaho. Because somehow our freedoms that we have over there, we can go to restaurants and we can go to gyms and we, you know, stuff like that over there. That somehow because of us over there, it's caused the spike over here. Okay, so if you're looking to Inslee to save you from it, he's done a bad job. Like, wow. Wow. And yet there are people that they look for him, this political figure. He's going to save us. No, he's not. Only person that will be God, Jehovah, the Almighty. Where is your faith? Okay, they have erred from the faith. They've made a mistake in trusting something other than God. They coveted the money. They loved the money because they think, well, if I have all this money, then I'm safe. Doesn't matter if I lose my job. I got money. Okay? Doesn't matter all this other stuff. I got money. Faith in God is where it's at. Not faith in money. Not trust in money. Not trust in stuff. And it pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Once we get it settled that God is our all in all, that God will provide, once that's settled in our heart and in our mind and the foremost in our mind, because, you know, we start worrying about stuff, don't we? Man, I got this coming up. I got that coming up. Oh, yeah, I got to pay taxes. I got this. Oh, no, this is coming up over there. Oh, no, that's coming up. And our mind starts thinking about that. Our mind starts, you know, we ruminate about this stuff going over and over and over again, thinking about stuff that are beyond our control. And our faith with God. Pretty soon we got all these little heartaches and stuff going on and anxieties and things, you know, that we're worried about. We've pierced ourselves through with many sorrows because we don't trust God for things. We don't trust God to take care of me and my family and my wife and other things. We don't trust God to take care of things, and I got to do it all myself. But I can't because I'm just one person, and I'm, you know, I'm at the end of my rope now. It's a sorrow that we have. And we brought it all upon ourselves because we have not trusted God. We have erred from the faith. Pastor's going through Galatians. Okay. Oh, he's going through Galatians on Thursday night. And if you're not here, you're missing some good stuff. About how they erred from the faith by believing another gospel. A different gospel. Which Paul says is not the gospel of Jesus. It's another one. Which really isn't good news. They have erred from the faith. But thou, verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, okay, basically, but you, child of God, flee these things. This is one of those things Paul doesn't say, oh, it's a big we thing, because sometimes people get hung up with that we, if we do the we thing, and it becomes a nebulous concept. Something that's out there, you know, floating out there in the ether, and it's just, oh, wow, that's cool. That's something to think about. No. Paul says, but you, O man of God, O you, child of God, flee these things. Get as far away from that as you can, as you possibly can. If it means you have to cut certain people out of your life, cut them out. Okay? If it means you have to do without something, do without. That your faith in God may remain intact. Oh, but that's going to cause a lot of problems for other people. No. It's not an other people thing at this point in time. You being faithful to God is more important to other people, too, by the way. When people in this day and age are looking around for hope, okay, do they see it in you? Do they see it in us as children of God? They say, man, I don't know what's going on in this society. This is that and this is that. And you hear them talk at work. It's like, wow, what's going on? Are they looking? Well, no, there's a guy that's got something squared away. What's up with that? Can they see your faith the way you live? Or do you have to tell them with your mouth, I'm going to witness to them and I'm going to tell them about Jesus and stuff like that. Is that the only way they know that you're faithful to God? Does your life back up your words? Does the way you live give credence, give credibility, give great weight to what you say? Flee these things. Follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now that's a good, that's a good list there. And yet too many Christians say, well, who wants to be righteous? Who wants to be godly? Who wants to have love and patience? Everybody talks about love these days. Love your brother. I mean, I listen to an oldies station in the bus. It's a non-confrontational station, which means it doesn't have the rap, it doesn't have the hard metal, it doesn't have all this stuff. This plays station I listen to plays songs from the mid-50s to the mid-80s, and that's it. Okay. There were a lot of trash songs back in then, too, but they play a lot of that stuff. The theme of a lot of songs from the 60s and 50s was about loving one another, everyone getting along, everybody having, the same goal. We're all humans. We're all part of this race. Let's love each other, stuff like that. 1968, the season of love, Woodstock, right? I mean, wasn't it Woodstock, 1968? And she's 69. I knew it was somewhere in there. And it's like, man. Yeah, love and all this stuff and, everybody embrace humanity and all this stuff. It's like, oh, that's cool. Except we're still having the same problems. We're still having people get together. Well, we need to love each other more and more and more. You know? That's the way of the world. That's wisdom that's not from God, but sensual and devilish. We're still having the same problems. Why? Oh, because we haven't fixed anything from back. No. It's because we're human beings. We're a sinful man. And Christians have not stood up and made a difference. Okay? We have been silent. I got saved in 78. And one of the things I was first taught by elders in the faith was that Christians shouldn't be in politics because they will have to compromise. well, Christians not being in politics have led to the politics that we have today. And Antichrist politics, okay, where politics are politicians are against Christ, against faith. Oh, by the way, you can be a Muslim and be accepted, but you can't be a Christian and be accepted. Okay? Do you know that? You can be anything you want to as far as faith and religion and be accepted, but you cannot be a Christian. Because you're the problem, by the way. It's your faith in that God. Don't amen that. It's a sad thing because we as Christians have allowed it. We have not voted according to the Word of God. We have not set up people that are Christ-like to be elected. We have stayed out of the thing. Why? The politicians have told us, government's told us, well, you can't speak against politics or you can't speak politics in church. Okay. Well, they have usurped morality. So now you can't speak about abortion in church because, oh, that's a woman's right. That's political. Political. You can't speak about that. No, it's moral. We have every right, oh, and obligation to speak against it. And other things. Okay. Fornication. Oh, you can't speak against that because that people will love who they want to love. Yes, you can speak against it because it's called morality. Some things are called an abomination to God. And we have a right. No, we have an obligation to speak against that. Not in hate, but in love. Why? Because that's following after righteousness. It's following after godliness. It's grabbing hold of our faith and keeping faithful. It's grabbing hold of our love of God and staying in love with God, staying in love with Jesus. It's grabbing hold of our patience for putting up with this stuff and still remaining faithful to God. Not enduring like, oh, I got to suffer this for now. No, but overcoming. I believe in Jesus, therefore I'll be overcoming. I transport a lot of people they called CCC, Cognitively Challenged Community. Maybe my dad know what that means? It means they don't recognize things like other people. Okay. Mentally slow, intellectually slow, yeah, okay. A lot of these guys are happy. Oh, it's because they don't know what's going on. It doesn't matter why, but they're happy. You know, some of them walk like this because of physical deformity that come along with what they got. And, you know, they're happy still. And here I go, I have arthritis, not as bad as some people in here, I know. I have things wrong with my body that doesn't quite work. It's like, you know, I see these people, it's like, they got something that I am missing. Because it's almost like I'm not happy, like I'm discontent with what God has put in me. Yeah, a lot of stuff I'm going to physically is because I was stupid when I was younger. I was stupid when I was your age. Seriously. And younger. Okay? People told me back then, well, you shouldn't do that. Well, why? I can do this now. It's like, yeah. No, you're going to feel it when you get older. Ah, that's like a year from, well, I'm there, and it's like, oh, man, I wish I hadn't done that. It's like, oh, there's some things like, oh, I wish I had done that because I know exactly when I hurt myself way back then. There's something that person has that I am missing. All right, you can call it because they're not aware of it, but, you know, I think back to Helen Keller. Remember Helen Keller? She was deaf, dumb, and blind. Okay. Acting out the only way she knew. When one gal finally got to her and talked to her, she said she already knew God. Didn't she? That was one of her testimonies. She already knew God. God didn't leave her alone. God won't leave these other kids alone that I see. So maybe they do have him because they have a pure faith and trust in a God. Maybe they just don't understand him and cannot elucidate with their mouth, cannot say the words. Some of them can't even speak, by the way. Okay. Yet, they have that complete faith in God as a child. Where are we at in that? Oh, well, I know all this stuff. I got a mind. I can think. I can reason. I can do all this stuff. But what has that done to your faith? Has it built it up to where it's unshakable? Has it built it up so that way no matter what happens in life, you can say, I will serve God. Me and my house, we're going to remain faithful. Or do people see you whine and complain about every little thing that comes into your life? You all know the people at work that whine and complain about every cotton-picking thing. Man, they do that at work, and I say, man, this is the best job I ever had. Why? Well, God gave it to me, number one. And number two, I go home, I don't have to worry about it. You know? God has provided that. Flee these things. Verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. For some reason, we as Baptists think that we need to, it means to fight. It means to get in somebody's faith and start, you know, face and start accusing them of stuff and doing this thing and stuff like that. It's like, no. Fight the good fight of faith is here. What do you mean? It starts here. Anything you do with your voice, you say, you act and stuff like that, it's got to start here. Because if our actions and stuff don't match what's in here, it's called hypocrisy. The good fight of faith is here, where we give ourselves over to God first, and we trust Him for everything first and foremost. And then we live our life accordingly. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Lay hold to that eternal faith. You say you're saved, and you're going to heaven? Don't be smarmy about it. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Neater, neater, neater. I've seen Christians act like that, and Baptists. It's like, you got to be kidding me. You're only saved by grace, not because of anything you did. If it weren't for Christ, remember, you are ungodly. You are unholy. You are an antichrist. You and I were that way. Paul has a big old long list of idolaters, murderers, thieves, and all this other stuff. And such were some of you, he says. That's where you're from. You're from that miry pit that David had to be pulled out of. That's where you were, down here. For us to think of ourselves as something now, that's not right. We need to stop it. The good fight of faith, and that we're going to be faithful, profess a good profession. The professing a good profession means that you're speaking this, I believe in God, and people see your life that you do believe in God. You know, I can see where Paul's talking to some people and they're professing the good testimony, where they now go to church, they don't speak the same things the way they do, they don't act the same way, and there's others, friends that are still lost saying, man, what's wrong with that boy? He don't come around no more. He don't come to the temple to worship. He doesn't do the things we used to do anymore. What's wrong with that man? What's wrong with him? No, the problem is with the lost person. Okay? But all too often, lost people can't see a difference between their life and the life of a child of God. And it's like, it's got to change. It's got to change for us. So that way people see us, when they see us, they know us and stuff like this. People say, man, there is something different about you. You have a good profession. You are fighting the good fight. And keep this way. All right, we'll end verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. We'll go one more. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unbreakable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The testimony that Christ gave, okay, for the years that he was in public ministry, for the time he was before Pilate, for the time he was before teaching in the synagogues and everything, the testimony, the profession he had, matched when they brought him before Pilate. He didn't do anything different. He believed in God. He knew why he was here. He trusted in God and his Father. which is why he said it in the garden, Lord, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. But if I've got to take it, let me take it. And not grudgingly, oh, I got to do this because God said, or I got to do this. Remember, your children, when they were little, you told them to do something. Oh, they give you the eye roll. Okay, do you give your parents the eye roll? I bet you. Do you? I did that once when it first came. My mama slapped my face. She said, don't you ever give me that look again. Yes, ma'am. Okay. From then on, it was a look on her face, and you don't do the eye roll like this. Okay. You don't get away from her looking in her face. Yes, ma'am. Not enduring like that because, oh, we got to. It's something placed on me. Oh, I got to be in church. Oh, I got to do this. Oh, I got to pass out checks. Oh, I got to do. We're pretty soon being a Christian is a burden rather than a joy. That's the fight of faith, man. When God puts something in your life, you say, okay, God, you and me, we're up to the challenge. Not that I'm up to it. I mean, seriously, I am not up to any challenge. But God, you and I are up to this challenge. We will go through this together. I trust you, God. The good fight of faith. The charge by which that Paul gave Timothy, keep the faith, Timothy. Fight the good fight, Timothy, my son in the faith. My child, come on, fight this. Stay faithful. In another place, he says, not like these other people who have left and made shipwreck of their lives. And Paul says, I tell you now, even weeping, that these guys have become an antichrist. Oh, they're still saved, but now they're not. Well, no, they're still saved, but I mean, but now they're not acting as a child of God. Their faith, their profession, has been made shipwreck along with their life. It's in ruin. Timothy, remain faithful. Timothy, stay the way you are. And for us, stay faithful to God, not to politics, not to government, okay? Not to even your job. I was looking for a job when I found this one. God gave me this job when I was looking for it at the right time. There's the trust in God who giveth to men liberally, who giveth men all things. Is that the focus of where we're at? All right, we're going to go ahead and dismiss. She made some stuff downstairs. It's like chocolate, and it's, you know, puffy, and it's got